Let's start kind of generally. Can you explain to those who don't know what this is, what is machine learning?
Gosh, that's a really good question. Machine learning is a set of algorithms and computational approaches to mine large data sets. It was developed in the research for artificial intelligence, and it has since evolved into a field oftentimes called statistical learning, in which algorithms are applied to systematically mine data for large-scale patterns.
And how do you use this, apply this, I should say, to forecast disease outbreaks?
So I apply a set of algorithms to large-scale data on mammal species to try and understand what traits pop out from the data that might help us to predict and understand what makes disease reservoirs distinct from those that don't carry disease. So we're looking at traits of those animals, anything from their body size to their gestation length to how many babies they have a year. Things basically that describe their biology, their physiology, and their ecology. And we're looking at all of those traits for thousands of species to try and understand whether there's a pattern that emerges that distinguishes those that are great at carrying disease from those that don't seem to carry any that we know of so far. And from that initial analysis, we can start to make predictions about species that look very similar to ones that we know carry disease and should, for all intents and purposes, carry something that perhaps those species should be a target for future surveillance.
And what sort of things did you find?
Well, we found a pretty distinct signature of animals that have sort of a fast strategy to life. So things that live fast and die young tend to be really great carriers for zoonotic infectious diseases. And those are the kinds of diseases that have an animal origin and jump into people. So those animals with a fast life history strategy are good at carrying zoonotic disease. They have large litter sizes. They kind of start reproducing early in life and have more litters per year. So they're basically shifting their strategy to pump out lots of offspring as quickly as possible, possibly over a shorter lifespan. So their strategy is pretty different from something that's maybe larger, has a slower metabolic rate, has fewer babies a year, and just generally tends to look like it has a slower pace of life.
And what are some examples of these live fast, die young type of animal?
Well, so I guess the quintessential example is something like the rat, Rattus rattus or Rattus norvegicus. These rats that have lots of offspring multiple times a year. They're sort of notorious for carrying lots of infectious diseases that are harmful to humans. That's probably the one the public would be most familiar with. There were a couple of species on here that are tropical or not as well. I guess not as not like the poster child for infectious disease, but for sure, Rattus rattus is one of the common rat or the Norwegian rat. Those are two species that jumped out as carriers of lots of diseases.
Your model also predicted potential hotspots for disease outbreak. Where were those?
So there was one that was sort of unexpected in the Midwestern United States, and that was the region of Nebraska and Kansas. And there was another one, sort of northern China, Kazakhstan, that area of the world, that was predicted to harbor lots of new reservoir species.
And what is the importance of identifying potential hotspots?
Well, it's important to identify hotspots. And hotspots in this case, we mean places in the world where there are lots of species overlapping in the same area that are all predicted to carry zoonotic diseases that have yet to be discovered. So these are species that we have no information on about what diseases they might carry, or maybe we've looked in those species before and they've come back negative for zoonotic diseases. But our models are suggesting that, in fact, those might be targets that we should be focusing on. And regions of the world where there's lots of those species overlapping in geographic range could be regions where what we call hotspots, right? So regions where there's lots of potential species occurring in the same place.
And what are you and others doing with all these new findings?
So we are trying to put these findings into the hands of people who are doing fieldwork on the ground. So it's important to kind of work together and take an interdisciplinary approach. Once you produce a watch list, it's sort of a long distance between coming up with a watch list and a list of species and handing it off to somebody who can actually get the field work done, who knows the life history and the ecology of these animals, how to trap them, what their social interactions are, you know, whether they have large population cycles in which it would be easier to catch them during the year. These are the types of things that only experts on the ground would know. So working together with an interdisciplinary team would be critical. It's going to require a lot of collaboration. And the start would be to look at newly predicted rodent reservoirs and assess which of them are having high contact rates with people through activities like development, urbanization, agriculture and hunting practices, especially in areas where animals are hunted for bushmeat, and areas that are experiencing high levels of displacement from political instability. These are all regions where the ecology is changing on the ground, and changes in the rodent ecology might also be important for sort of triggering these zoonotic disease events.
And finally, are you applying, I understand you're applying machine learning in another research project as well. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so we're applying the same type of approach to try and understand whether there are distinctions between bats that are known to carry Ebola virus and Marburg virus, which is another virus in the filovirus family, causes hemorrhagic fevers. We're trying to predict what other bat species might be good candidate reservoirs for Ebola virus in the wild. And this question is a little bit trickier because there's less data, but the initial results are showing pretty robust predictions for which species are predicted to carry Ebola virus in the wild and where those species are located.